Let's pray again. Lord, I'm excited. It's a wonderful thing to be able to come and worship your holy name. Lord, to sing praises. Lord, the world offers so many things to try to entertain us, so many things to try to fill the void that's in our soul, so many things to try to chase away the darkness and the blackness and the anxiety and the fear. But Lord, there is nothing that the world can offer us that will do to us what worshiping you does. There is nothing that can substitute that pure joy of worshiping the King of Kings, of coming before you and praising you from the bottom of our soul. Thank you for that gift of worship and prayer and being able to come into your presence. Thank you for that gift that sinners like us can be washed clean so that we can become the righteousness of God and appear in your court and praise you and come before your throne without guilt and shame and condemnation. Thank you for salvation. Lord Jesus, thank you for your sacrifice that paid that price for our sins. Thank you that when we claim you as our Lord and Savior, and when we surrender our life to you, and when we turn away from our sin and turn towards the great God Almighty, you will forgive us, and you will save us, and you will allow that stained sinner to become clean in your presence. Praise the Lord, O my soul. We praise you in Christ. Amen. There is just nothing that cleanses your soul like just crying out to God in prayer and crying out in praise and worship and coming to Him and exalting Him for who He truly is. The problem is we forget that. And very few of us remember the power that comes from God when we come to Him. Very few of us remember what it means to depend on Him and pray and receive what we've asked for. And so Jesus gives us parables and examples and teachings on the need for prayer. And this morning we're going to look at one of those teachings in Luke chapter 11. And we're going to see what Jesus tells us about prayer. Now, this passage has parallel passages in Mark and John. In Matthew and Mark. Four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And Matthew and Mark and Luke have many of the same things. Whereas John has some different things that are brought out about the life of Jesus and His teachings. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, we call them the Synoptic Gospels, and they're very, very similar in their passages. And so this morning we're going to look at what is commonly called the Lord's Prayer, or some have called it the Disciples' Prayer, because this is how Jesus taught His disciples to pray. And one of the first things you'll notice is it may not be exactly how you've memorized it. Many of you come from a Catholic background, so you've memorized this, and that's the only thing that the Catholic Church ever really taught you to pray. And it's such a shame, and it's honestly kind of freaky. My children go to Catholic, well, two of them go to Catholic school. And when I have to go to events, sometimes they'll have a Catholic Mass, and other times they'll just be an event, and they'll say, "Let us pray," and everyone, you can have an auditorium full of 500, 600 people, and everyone starts to say the Our Father together, and I swear it freaks me out. It sounds like this monolithic, monotone, robotic, I don't know what you call it, chant. And I always sit there and think, Lord, I don't think this is what you meant. I don't think this is how I should be praying to you, to be constrained with just some exact phrase. And if I mess it up, maybe you don't like the prayer. Lord, I think you meant something much deeper. this passage in Luke would back that assertion up. Because in this passage in Luke, it doesn't sound exactly like the passage out of Matthew. And so, wait a minute, if I'm supposed to pray the Lord's Prayer in a certain way, then how come the Lord didn't give it to me the same way twice? There must be something else going on. There must be something so much deeper to a prayer life. There must be something so much deeper to knowing Christ as my Savior and walking with Him and depending on Him and allowing Him to take care of my needs and provide for my wants even, and even to give me His presence and power to live my life. Look, prayer is so much more than asking God for stuff. It's seeking God's presence and power for the way I live so that my life can reflect His glory. It's an amazing gift that He's given us. Too few know what it's about. Go to the next slide. So my question today is, I think I have a question up there. Slide. Do you pray? I mean, really. Really. Is prayer a part of who you are? I think that's a better way to say it. I meet sometimes people who say, oh, I pray twice a day. And I think, twice a day? Whew. Man, I can't get by with prayer twice a day. I couldn't live. Yeah, I schedule it in the morning, I schedule it in the evening. And does that mean the rest of the day you don't pray? I mean, it's a good thing to pray twice a day, but if that's all you're praying, what by twice a day, do you mean like 3 hours in the morning, 3 hours in the evening or something like that? Is it a two-minute prayer? Is it that when I wake up, I say, thank you, Lord, for today, and that's my prayer for the morning, and at night I say, thank you, Lord, for the day that I had, what do you mean by, it just freaks me out when somebody says, I pray twice a day. I just think, do you have that scheduled? Because the Muslims do. They pray five times a day. And I just think your righteousness is supposed to exceed the righteousness even of the Pharisees. And the closest thing that I know to Pharisees are Muslims now. And they pray five times a day. No, I think prayer is much deeper than that. Do you pray? Is it in your DNA? Is it who you are? As a child of God, do you find yourself being propelled forward by prayer? That if it wasn't for the fact that you could constantly call upon the name of Jesus Christ, you would absolutely be lost. If you're cut, do you bleed prayer? Do you bleed dependence upon this amazing God who, even though you should have been cast into hell for all eternity, decided instead to give you a way to be saved from that? Does your heart get caught up in Him? Look, when I struggle in prayer, when I say, you know, my prayer life just really stinks right now, what I'm really saying is I've forgotten what it means to depend on God the way I'm supposed to. I've forgotten to seek out holiness in my life the way I'm supposed to. The world has become so attractive to me that I am ignoring the true beauty that has been given to me. Do you pray? And I'll be honest, I don't pray the way I just described to you either. But I know that's out there. I think a lot of times that we feel guilt over what we don't do as believers, and so we shy away and act like it doesn't exist. But I want you always to know there is such a deeper life with Jesus than you have. There is so much more to this walk with Christ than you've ever experienced. I know that, and I want to find that. And I'm not telling you, yes, model your life at me, because I've figured it all out, and if you just look at me, then you'll know what to do. No, are you kidding me? You can model your life at where I'm trying to head, because I see it. I'm not there. I'm further than I was, but not what I want to be. Check in with me 10 years from now, I'll be able to tell you more. But I'm learning what it means to depend on this great Savior. All right, let's go to the Scripture. Will you stand with me as we go to Luke chapter 11? Looking at the first 13 verses. One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us how to pray, just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins. For we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation.' Then he said to them, 'Suppose one of you has a friend, and he goes to him at midnight and says, "Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him." Then the one inside answers, "Don't bother me. The door's already locked, and my children are in bed with me. I can't get up and give you anything." I tell you, though he will not get up and give him the bread because he is his friend, yet because of the man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Lord, open our eyes and our hearts and our minds this morning. We ask, we seek, we knock. Lord, reveal yourself to us. Teach us what it means to depend on you in prayer. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Will you please be seated? There's a couple things I want to point out to you about this passage before we go into talking about prayer and the truths that are in here about prayer. First of all, again, notice that the Lord's Prayer, the Our Father here, isn't exactly as you've memorized it, because you've memorized the version that Matthew, the gospel writer, had recorded for us. So that right there tells me that there's no set way to pray. This is a model prayer that Jesus is giving us, teaching us how to depend on God, starting off with praising Him. "Hallowed be your name. Lord, I praise you. You are wonderful." Reminding ourselves of who we're coming to. And then teaching us how to depend on God. "Lord, provide for me my daily bread, my needs. Please, Lord, I come before you." And it's actually even a little bit more bold than that. It's, "Give us today, Lord, what we need." Give us. Can you imagine going before the King of all the universe and saying, "I demand that you give me my provisions for today"? Sounds blasphemous, except Jesus tells us to do this. And then also, "Lord, forgive me my sins." Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And "Lord, don't let us be led into temptation. Lead us not into temptation." These are elements that all of our prayers should have, that we're crying out to God and praising His name, asking for Him to provide our needs, and asking for His forgiveness, not only to be given to us, but to flow through us, so that all will praise His name because of that. So, Jesus ends this model prayer with a little bit more explanation about prayer. And some truths about prayer come out here, and I want to go over these with you. This is what I see. You may see something in addition to that. That's what's so wonderful about Scripture. Every time you go through, you see more in it. And you're fed every time. Never, ever think that you've read the Bible enough. I've talked to people before and say, do you read your Bible? Oh, yeah, I've read it before. Huh. Well, you obviously didn't get anything out of it. Because if you really did read it and God revealed himself, you'd realize that you want to go back and read it again. And when you're done then, you want to go back and read it again. And you'll continue to want to read it more and more because he's feeding you from it. And it's an alive book that he's given to us. Well, here, some truths that come out about prayer today. It's amazing here. Prayer is active. It's persistent. And it's received. Let's go through these one at a time. First of all, prayer is active. Look at the things that Jesus is saying here. First of all, he is actively praying, and his disciples are drawn to that and say, Lord, teach us how to pray. Teach us. Show us what to do. Not, Lord, pray for us. I can't tell you how many people, knowing I'm a pastor, come to me and ask me to pray. And then sometimes I'll say, are you praying about this? Well, I really need you to pray. Oh, time out. I will pray for you. But if you want to see God's glory, you'll pray for you. You have to take an active part in these things. The disciples are seeing this prayer life that Jesus had with the Father. Teach us how to pray. I want to do this. This is an active thing. This is not a standing on the sidelines, allowing all the others to be involved while you benefit. No, this is jumping in. And as they say, being in the game. Don't sit in the bleachers. Get on the field. Pray. You have to want to know God more intimately. And then look what he says in verse 2. He said to them, when you pray, say. And he goes on and gives them a model prayer. When you pray. You know, he doesn't say if you pray. This is a key. Last week, I kind of got in everybody's face, and I felt kind of bad about it, and then I thought, no, I'm glad I said it. When I said, do you pray? If you don't pray, shame on you. I don't know if you remember that. Not a lot of times you want to, as the pastor standing in the pulpit, tell the congregation, shame on you. That's not exactly the way to approach things. But if you don't pray, shame on you, because it's commanded. Jesus doesn't say, if you feel like it. He says, when you pray. Prayer is a very active thing that every believer needs to be a part of. How in the world can I claim Jesus as my Savior and Lord if I don't depend on him in prayer? You see, it doesn't work. A prayerless Christian, I'm afraid, is not a Christian. I know that sounds very strong, but I don't see any other way around it. I don't see how someone can call themselves a believer in Christ if they won't pray to him. It just doesn't work. Because a believer in Christ is a sheep of his pasture, of his flock, and the sheep depend on the shepherd. And if you're not depending on him through prayer, you're not depending on him, so you're not his. Very active thing to prayer. It's not optional. It's expected. And look at the way you're supposed to pray. He says in verse 3, give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins. We also forgive everyone who sins around us. My gosh, this is an active thing. Not only am I going to ask God for things, but I am going to be ready to act on what I've asked. Lord, forgive us. Forgive me, Lord. And I will, in turn, forgive those who sin against me. You see, Lord, I'm part of this process. I'm coming to you, begging for your power, begging for your presence. And yes, when you give it, I will walk in it. I will obey. Blessed, rather, are those who hear the word of God and obey. I will obey. And just as I'm asking you to forgive me, I'm prepared in that forgiveness to forgive others. Amazing, this activity that goes on here. And then look, he gives this example, this illustration of you having someone come in the middle of the night and you don't have food to feed them. And in the Eastern world, in the ancient Eastern world, if you didn't provide hospitality, that was a huge shame on you. You provide for people. If somebody just drops in unannounced, you provide for them. Now, in our culture, we don't know hospitality very well. I just tell people when they come over and I don't have any food, sorry, you missed the food, you're going to have to go eat somewhere. No, I don't do that. Or at least my wife doesn't let me. But in the Eastern world, you're not that way. So you have somebody, you're living in the ancient Eastern world, in Palestine, and someone shows up unannounced, you need to provide for them. But guess what? You don't have anything. You know, the Walmart, you didn't get to it last week. Or whatever was close to a Walmart back then. And so what do? It's the middle of the night. Well, I'm going to go ask my neighbor. I'll borrow some food and get it back tomorrow. So you knock on the neighbor's door, Jesus says. You go to the neighbor. Look how active this is. You don't send your kid. To me, I'm thinking this would have been more effective if this person would have sent their child. My daddy needs you. Oh, you know, you're not going to turn the kid away. No, you go yourself. You don't send someone else to pray for you. You pray also. And so you go to this neighbor, you knock on the door, and the neighbor says, "Leave me alone. Do you know what time it is?" Have you ever had to call somebody in the middle of the night? And they say, "What time is it?" And you're like, "I'm so sorry. Seriously, I'm sorry. I know it's 3 a.m, but I need your help." They say, "Look, call me back in the morning." That's what this guy is saying. "Come back in the morning. I'm not getting up. My kids are asleep. I'm not waking them up. Leave me alone." And Jesus says, no, the man keeps persisting. Active thing. The man goes next door. You go next door. You keep going. Active. Prayer. Active. He says, ask, seek, find, all these action verbs. Can I tell you something? If your idea of prayer is every once in a while throwing up a prayer to God, then you've missed out what prayer really means. Prayer is an active thing. You can't passively ask God to supply your needs. It's an active, I go, I ask, I seek, I will find. And it's active on our part and also active on God's part. Go to the next slide. Look what happens here. Oh, good. Jesus says that this man who is being badgered in the middle of the night will get up and give him the food. He will get up and give him all he needs, Jesus says. All he needs. That is what the Heavenly Father will do. And it's active on God's part, not passive. God doesn't just sit back and orchestrate events to where you would stumble upon something. No, he provides when you ask. It says it will be given to you when you ask. The door will be opened. All actions on God's part. He says, your Heavenly Father will give you the Holy Spirit to those who ask. Jeremiah 33:3, the Lord says, call to me and I will answer you and show you great and unspeakable things. And I love this verse. It's one of my favorite verses in all of Scripture because it commands me to actively seek God in prayer and tells me God is active in that prayer too because he will answer. Call to me and I will answer you. Reminds me, there's not a one-way street. I am meeting with God and we are conversing. He is showing me. He is revealing things to me. And at times he will directly speak to me. Now we are Baptists. We don't talk about this too much. But God will speak to you. God will give you visions. God will show you what you need. All different ways he'll speak to you. Call to me and I will answer. Active prayer. Prayer is also persistent. True prayer. the prayer of those who seek God out. I love this. It says in verse 8 about this person who is begging for the food, I tell you, though he will not get up and give him the bread because he is his friend. Now think about that. Let's say it's the middle of the night and you go to your neighbor and your neighbor is your closest friend. And you first knock and they say, go away, would you? You annoying jerk. It's 3 a.m, you're waking up the kids. Would you just leave me alone? No, I really need your help. I really need some food. I have these people. Get out of here. It's not my concern. You should have gone grocery shopping last week, you dummy, instead of going out and playing golf. You should have taken care of this need before. Would you leave me alone? And Jesus says, because he's a friend, he won't do it. That's not enough for the guy. But he will get up and give the food. Why? Because of his boldness. Now, it's interesting. This word boldness in the Greek means a lot more than just being bold. It actually means wearisome persistence, badgering, shameless asking, demanding, insisting. Those are pretty strong words. This is what the Lord tells us our prayers should be like. Now, I don't know what kind of illustrations you can come to mind with, but I have children. And so I don't know this Greek word, but I've lived it. You ever notice a child has plenty of time and energy to ask? And even though you've said no, that doesn't mean they're done asking. Okay? My 3 kids are great at this, but my daughter is the best, and she's not here, so I can just rag on her this morning. Okay? By the way, she and my wife, they went to a Beth Moore conference up in Shreveport and had just a great time. They're on their way today home, so be in prayer for them, please. But my daughter can wear us down. It's like being attacked. I've never experienced torture, you know, but I've heard of waterboarding and I've heard of Chinese water torture, you know, with the drip, 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 drip. And I tell you that if they ever wanted a terrorist to give up all their information, all they need is to put my daughter on it. She will wear that terrorist down. She's amazing at it. And you find yourself saying yes after 3 hours of being tortured. Even though the first 150 no's were very strong and you meant it. That's what Jesus says our prayer should be like. I mean, think about that for a second. Is your prayer life like that? Do you badger God? I mean, badger him. Annoy him. I've heard of people say something like, well, I'm not going to bother God with that. I only pray about the big thing. You know, there was one time there was a man in one of the Sunday school classes, and the Sunday school teacher was teaching about prayer, and this man just said, you know, I just pray about the big stuff. I don't want to bother God with all that other stuff. You know, that's too small. And the Sunday school teacher was teaching and said, no, God tells us to pray about everything, and you should bug him about it. And so this man said, well, you know, I got this trailer that I'm having a hard time selling, and the teacher said, well, why don't you pray about it? Well, it's a trailer. I mean, you're going to pray to God about selling something? He says, yeah. So the man did. And the trailer sold like that. Sat for sale forever. And he finally decided, you know what, I'm going to bug God with the small stuff. What an amazing thing. God actually tells us to bug him, tells us that when we bug him, he will answer. And it turns out if we bug him, he answers us. It's an amazing process that we miss out on too often. Prayer is active and it's persistent. Go to the next couple slides. Isaiah. No? What am I at? 1 Thessalonians? Is Isaiah up there? Did I put that one in there? Maybe later. All right. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Or continuously. What it means is all the time. Be joyful always. Why? Because you're praying all the time. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Next slide. Ephesians chapter 6, after telling us about the armor of God that we're supposed to put on in the day of evil, the Apostle Paul says this, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Active, persistent, always. Prayer, my life, my blood that flows through my vein. Prayer, God, always on my heart and mind. Always before me. Go again. Okay, I got to give you one more example. Harry Lashney was an amazing man. Came to Christ late in life and was only with us for about 7 years after he got saved, was part of this church. And I'll never forget sitting with he and Miss Shirley one time and talking to them. And he started talking about how he was having problems with the phone company or something like that. There was something that was messed up. And he called to get it fixed, and they blew him off. And he told the person on the phone, listen, I want you to take care of this. Oh, yes, sir, we're going to do that. He said, no, you're not hearing me. I'm going to call you back until you take care of this. And they said, oh, sir, we're going to take care of it. You don't have to worry about it. He says, I am going to worry about this, and I'm going to badger you because I have nothing else to do because I'm retired. And I will call you 20 times a day because it's all I have to do. That's what persistent prayer is like. So, prayer is active, prayer is persistent, and the great thing is it's received by a God that is generous, by a Heavenly Father that loves and has compassion for His children, by a Heavenly Father that wants to answer prayer. You know, my children a lot of times go without because they don't ask me. They just assume that I know what's going on. Which, if you've ever met me, that's a dangerous assumption on any level, okay? Much less that I'm going to remember your needs. You know, you have to badger me sometimes. There's folks in this church that are very good at that, and they wind up getting things all the time. But God is generous. He wants to answer these prayers. Look at what it says, that this man will get up and give him as much as he needs. As much as he needs. He's not going to be begrudging about it. He's not going to go, I can't believe you woke me up. Fine, here you go. Make sure you give this back tomorrow. No, he's going to give as much as the man needs. Generous. And then he goes on and talks about these fathers. You fathers, which of you, if your child comes to you and asks you for a fish, are you going to give a snake? Now, I always wondered about that. Why would he pick snake for fish? Well, evidently, he's probably talking about the snakes that are in the water. Your child needs food. They come to you for food, and at the time, food would have been fish in this area, fish and bread. And instead of feeding the child, you go over to the water and grab a snake to give to him. And he says, which, if a child asks for an egg, obviously wants to eat. It's going to give him a scorpion. Evidently, scorpions can ball themselves up. And you could play a little trick. I got a black egg for you. Who's going to do that to their kid when their kid's hungry? And if you who are evil, all right, so forget this whole thing where people are just naturally good. Jesus says people are evil. He's talking to his disciples who have come out and left their whole life behind to follow him. And he's saying, you're evil, by the way. So get over it when you're called a sinner by God. You were born into sin, and if it's not for His grace, evil is all that will dwell in you. No one is naturally good. God is good, and He gives righteousness to those who surrender themselves to Him. You who are evil, if you know how to do good things and give good gifts for your children, how much more is your Heavenly Father generous? How much more is your Heavenly Father going to give the best thing ever when you ask? How much more will your Heavenly Father give the gift of the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him. One last point about this. God is so generous, He's not going to give the trinkets that you think you need. He's going to go beyond that. Ephesians 3:21 tells us, God will do exceedingly abundantly more than I can ever ask or imagine. Exceedingly abundantly. Over and above. Beyond. I'm only thinking of material things. I'm only thinking of physical needs. No, He's going to go beyond that and give me the best gift I could ever have. The Holy Spirit. The presence of God in my life. If this morning you're in need, I mean real need, know this. God will provide for your needs. But if all you want are your needs met, you're going to miss out on His real gift. His real gift is His presence. Imagine this. If God is the ultimate being in all the universe, if He is greater than all others, then giving you anything less than Himself would be cheating you. Lord, provide for me the greatest gift that you could, please. Just pour out your blessings on me, okay? That means I'm pouring out my presence in your life. Because if I have His presence, I'll know His provision. If I have His presence, I'll be able to see what I need to do. Holy Spirit, the counselor who will guide you and teach you. Praise God, He doesn't hold back on anything. Most generous to His children, more than we could imagine. So, why does prayer seem to fail so often? Next slide. Why does prayer fail? Well, we're too passive, first of all. We sit back on the sidelines. We don't realize that anything worth having is worth working for. We grow up in a culture that we think everybody should just give and nothing should be required. It's an amazing, amazing thing that's happened to us. We truly think that we should be able to sit and have all our needs taken care of without any sweat on our part. And we do the same thing in prayer. Well, God knows what I want. God knows what my needs are. Yeah, He does. And He's told you to go and seek them. Knock, and the door will be open. Seek, and you will find. Have you ever had to seek for something? You ever lost your keys? I guarantee you, some of you have sought your keys more than you've sought the Lord. Think of what goes into losing your keys. The panic that comes about. I have to turn over this whole house. First of all, you usually lose your keys when you're late for something. And so there's an intensity about that search. Seek, and you will find. Why does prayer fail me so often? Why do I think that God's not providing for me? Because I'm too passive about it. I spend more energy looking for things than I do searching for the King. Second, we give up way too easily. Listen to this passage in Isaiah. You who call on the Lord, give yourselves no rest. And give Him no rest till He establishes Jerusalem and makes her the praise of the earth. Give yourself no rest and give Him no rest. Wear yourself out and wear God out with that request. Why is prayer failing you? Because it's not important enough to you to wear yourself out about it. Me too. Some other verses that back this up that we give up too easily. In Daniel, we see what prayer really should be like. The prophet Daniel got a vision from God and it freaked him out. He didn't know what to do with it. And so he wanted God to give him an explanation of the vision. And it said that he fasted and prayed for 21 days. Seeking the answer from God. Imagine that. you decide you want this so badly, you want God to show himself so badly that you're willing to go without food for 21 days, 3 weeks. By the way, it's not that he just sat in his house and wasted away. Fasting is not taking yourself out of the world. It is doing everything that you would normally do without food. Why? Like Jesus said, man does not live on bread alone, by every word that comes from the mouth of the Father. He fasted and prayed 21 days. How many of us would be willing to even fast and pray for a day to get an answer from God? To fast and pray for a week to get an answer from God? Just to pray for that long. He didn't get his answer for a month. But the great thing is, when the archangel comes to him, he says, "Oh, Daniel, as soon as you set your heart to praying, the answer was on its way. But I was detained in a fight in the spiritual realms with a great demon, and only now could get here to tell you about it." Read your scripture, Daniel 11. It's amazing. In Jeremiah, we find that the people come to Jeremiah and say, "Go seek God for us. Tell us what God has to say." And it says that Jeremiah went and sought the Lord, and 7 days later, the answer came. I remember the first time really seeing that when I was reading that passage. I thought, how many times have I prayed for something and actually waited for God to answer a week? I mean, we're like the drive-thru culture. If my burger's not there in 3 minutes, what the heck is wrong with these people? You know, and then they get you to go sit over there. Don't you hate that? You're in the line, and they tell you, "Will you pull over here?" You know, I pulled over there one time, got lost in my music, and the next thing I know, 20 minutes went by. I went inside, and they're like, "Oh, I'm sorry. You forgot me." How many times do I expect things like that with God? 2 Corinthians chapter 12, the Apostle Paul talks about a thorn in the flesh. We don't know exactly what that thorn was, but we know it plagued him. And he said he prayed to God to remove it 3 times. Now, I don't think that's like what I was talking about earlier. Oh, I pray 3 times a day. I think this was 3 seasons of prayer in the apostle's life that he was seeking out God about this and finally heard an answer. And the Lord basically said, "I'm not taking it away from you, because in your weakness I am strong." And the Apostle Paul says, "I'm going to boast about my weakness, because that's the strength of God coming through." But he received an answer. All of these received their answer after time. We give up so easily. That's a reason we don't see the glory of God in our prayer life. And finally, we don't understand the purpose. We don't understand what the Lord's generosity really means. We're looking for this one physical thing, and yet we're missing the experience of his presence. In Romans chapter 10, tells us there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Richly blesses by giving his presence in salvation. Jesus said, "The Heavenly Father, how much more will he give the Holy Spirit to all who ask?" It's the same type of verse. The presence of God is the true generosity of God. Don't satisfy yourself with trinkets of what God could give you and miss out on the real blessing of his presence in your life. Go to the last line. So, will you pray? And I ask this of myself as well. Oh, my soul, will you truly pray? Will you truly seek out God actively? Will you be persistent and not give up and badger him? 21 years ago, next week, I gave my life to Christ right here in this church, walked this aisle, surrendered my life to Jesus. And I can tell you, for the last 21 years, a persistent prayer of mine has been the salvation of my mother and my sister and now my stepfather. I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to give up. I'm going to badger God until he gives this great gift to my mother of his presence. Until she has the mind and the heart to ask for it herself. I'm not going to give up. Why? Because Jesus gave me examples of what it means to be persistent. And let me know that if I knock, the door will be opened. If I ask, I will be granted. If I seek, I will find. What about you? Is that your experience? Do you have a prayer life like this? Have you ever even sought out his presence in your life? Let's go to him now. Will you bow your heads with me and go to this great, generous Father? Climb up into his lap. Grab him with your arms and hug. Not let go as you feel his tender caress. As this Father puts his arms around you, will you ask for his presence?